Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
All right, let's continue our discussion today. I want to read some scriptures first before the main one that has to do with what we are discussing. And there's a reason why I'm doing that. You know, we have been speaking about the foundations and pillars of financial prosperity. And let me just say for a few seconds what we have said as a difference between the two. I said foundations are the things that the eyes cannot see. When we are seeing the finished product, when we are looking at the building, you will not see the foundation. But you may be able to see the pillars of the building. That is, those things that really hold up anything in life, they are the foundations and they are unseen. You need the trained eye. God needs to give you understanding of his ways, all right? The Bible says that he showed his works unto the children of Israel, but his ways he made known unto Moses. And that was because Moses wanted to know it. So when you have the knowledge of the ways of God, you will see the things that are invisible. And you will understand that the real foundation of anything that we want in life are done in secret. They are laid in secret. And I said several times that when we are trying to copy people, what we copy really are the pillars, the things we can see outwardly. The real foundation, listen to this, can only be described by the word of God. That's what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. It said, by faith we understand the foundation of the earth. I'm paraphrasing now. It said, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That is, the foundation of the world is the word of God. It's not what the eyes can see. So he said, the things that are seen were not made out of the things which are visible. You understand that point? So that's what we've been saying about foundation. So you must lay the foundation for your life. You must deliberately do those things which are right. Foundations are moral. Now, get my point. They are the spiritual principles that we operate. And they hold everything together. I think I should just lay that emphasis before I go on. These are the things that hold everything together. The things outwardly, they really can't hold things together. They cannot stand in the time of trouble. They cannot stand in the time of adversity. The only thing that holds you together in the time of troubles and the time of adversity are the foundations that are laid. Please, do you get that point? And that's why we can look at somebody like Job. Let me just quickly read this before I read those scriptures that I said I wanted us to read. Quickly, let's just go to the book of Job, chapter 29. There was something that Job said there when he was describing his days, the things that led to his prosperity. You must understand that Job was blessed by God financially, based upon the foundation that he was an upright man, all right, who did not believe in doing evil, okay? And that was why God blessed him. God blessed him so much because of his love for righteousness. Now, those things are invisible. People wanting to describe the success of Job, they will talk about his keen abilities concerning investment, but they won't understand that what God did was to bless him because of his love for righteousness. And when Job was describing his blessings, if you read from Job chapter 29 from verse 2, he said, "Oh, that I were, as in the months gone by, as in the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone upon my head, and by his light I walked through darkness." Using the principles of God, I walked through things that were not clear. That's what he was saying. And in verse 4, he said, "As I was in the prime of my days, when the friendship of God was over my tent, when the Almighty was yet with me." Then he described the blessings that this presence of God with him brought into his life. He said, "My children were around me, my steps were bathed in butter, and the rocks poured out for me streams of oil." I described the honor that men gave him in verses 7, 8, and 9, okay? And even down to verse 10. Now, when he said all of these things, he said, why did this happen? Remember what I said? This was a man who understood the ways of God, all right? And by revelation, by understanding of spiritual things, by the principle of Hebrews chapter 11, that says that by faith we understand the framing of the world. Do you understand that? Because he understood these things, he gave an explanation to the reason why he had these blessings in life. He said, "This was a manifestation of my righteousness." Verse 12, "Because I delivered the poor who cried for help." Now listen, "and the orphan who had no helper." He said, "The blessing of one ready to perish came upon me, and I made the widow's heart sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban." All right? "I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy, and I investigated the case which I did not know. And I broke the jaws of the wicked and snatched the prey from his teeth." Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, he said, "These were the things I did as a foundation for my prosperity." Now, please get what I'm going to explain here. He said, it was because of this that those blessings that were earlier, Alright? Came upon me. Later on, he now explained something. This just by the way, for those of us who might be interested. Job now said, I thought because I'd achieved that, I now rested. Okay? And those were the reasons why God allowed trials to come into his life. Because anytime God wants to bless you in life, he wants to lift you up to another level. He will allow you to be tried. Like I said the other day, that is in the time of hunger that Satan comes with his temptations. You get what I'm trying to explain? So when troubles came upon him, then his trial really came. And then he passed the trial and he understood a new phase of God. But let me leave that one and settle on the principle that was underlying his former prosperity. He said, look, I had all these blessings. God was my personal friend. He said in verse 4, and the Almighty was with me. And all these blessings came upon me. My children were about me. My steps were bathed in butter. And the rocks poured out for me streams of oil. And I was highly honored amongst men. Why? Because of invisible things to the non-discerning eye that I did. What is the relationship between a man's business and his care for the poor? Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, on the natural, he doesn't seem to tie. What is the relationship between the fact that this man was, that blessings used to come upon him from people who he delivered from perishing, and the investment he had, all right, in the stock market? There's no direct relationship. But this is why we are spiritual people. This is why we are children of God. This is why we believe in God. You see, saying I believe in God, listen to this, is not just about saying that, I believe in God, Father Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth. We recite the Apostles' Creed. I like one thing that Ed Cole said. Ed Cole said, practical atheism is not raising a fist and saying there is no God. He said, but living as if there is none. Let me just say this. No, I know I want to go on to something else. Well, I want to continue what we were discussing the last time we spoke on this matter. But I just feel like to explain this thing to us again. The sign that you really believe in God is that you are able to tie the invisible with the visible. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? For example, you know, I've heard it before. A man said to me, was like my classmate, and that day I lost all the respect I had for him before that day because I thought he was a very intelligent person who was very, very aware of world matters. I did not know anybody at that particular point in time, at least in my circles, who had as much knowledge of the goings on in the world as this young man did. And I had such a high regard for him in my heart, but he did not know that. Then one day he asked me a question. He said that, is it true, Banky, because he knew I was a Christian. He said, is it true that the reason why Nigeria had all this crisis, this was 1989 during the SARS riots and all of that. He said, is it true that it's because there are not enough Christians in the nation? That is why we're having this crisis. And I thought it was a serious person who wanted to have understanding, all right? And I gave him my answer. I said, well, it's not just about the number of Christians. I talked about the matter of prayer and all of that. And he laughed as if I was talking nonsense. He laughed. He said that, okay, that I should forget all that rubbish that Americans gathered together and they were able to run their nation effectively and their nation is prosperous. And I looked at him and I lost respect for him. I said, how do you gather 250 million people and have them to agree on something? Do you understand my point? I didn't know as much then as I know now. I would have quoted for him, I think, Abraham Lincoln or George Washington. One of those who said after the experience in government, they realized that there is the force driving the nation forward, different from what human beings can see. When you hear a head of state tell you my hands are tied, the people understand the things that are happening. That they are no longer their own when they step into certain circles. That day when he spoke, I lost all the respect I had for him. For you to tell me that 250 million Americans could gather and build a great nation, it's impossible. It's impossible. There are spiritual forces involved. Are you getting my point? No, there's no boy where you have everybody try building something great. There usually must be a man in front. There's usually something that's driving everybody else. That's just the way it works. There has to be a spirit poured upon them. This is just by the way. I look at the matter of corruption in the nation and I talk to people, I see things happening, and I realize that corruption in Nigeria is not a physical thing. It's a spiritual activity. You see what the Bible calls the prince of the power of the air. It's a spiritual activity. The same people who go back to America, they don't break laws. What does that tell you? That's just by the way. I said the mark of your faith in God, that's what I'm saying, is that you are able to tie the invisible, all right, with the visible. He said, by faith, that's what I discuss in that book, He That Believes. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. If you are not one ready to accept that what you do, all right, morally speaking, spiritually speaking, has a direct relationship with that which happens to you physically, then you really have not of faith. You're just a nominal Christian. A real person of faith will understand that what I do in being kind to the poor, do you get my point? It's tied to what my business success will be later in life. It ties. I'm just reviewing the matter of foundation again for us to understand. That's why, look, Christians, that's why Jesus said, in fact, I said we're going to read a few scriptures. I want to go back to it again so that I can develop what I'm about to say properly. That's why Jesus said a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. You can have blessings in your life that even you will wonder how you were able to do that when you notice the amount of financial resources that are supposed to be available to you. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. If you are fighting, working, striving hard so that you can have plenty of things because you think you have satisfaction and joy and security in it, then you are not a Christian. You are not born again. You indeed need to give your life to Christ or come out of your depth of ignorance. Believe me, that's just the way it works. You get what I'm not explaining? The mark of Christianity, the mark of faith, is that you can tie that which is invisible, all right, to physical results, even though human beings tell you it's not like that. But how do you tie it? That's what the faith is. You read the word of God, all right? It describes to you spiritual activity, and you hold on to it. Please, do you follow the point I'm going to make here? So that's what we said about the matter of foundations. It's things that we cannot see, all right? But they really are the real forces. It's like the root of a tree. That's what anchors it to the ground. That is what draws nutrients from the depths of the earth, even when outwardly it may appear like everywhere is dry. The foundations. And I said pillars are those things, like I said, that we can see outwardly. They are the things that we work out, all right? The man is diligent. He moves about his business, all right? He's very, very prudent. He knows how to plan. He knows how to invest. He has a keen eye for good investment. All those things are pillars. We must first lay the foundation. Otherwise, anything we build with the pillars, try to hold up with pillars, we won't they disappoint us. They will collapse in the time of adversity. Let me say it again. When everybody is prospering, it is easy to prosper. Do you get what I'm saying? I want to say something about that matter of the time of adversity. It is so easy to prosper when everybody is prospering. That is why if you get to America, get a small, decent job, you will drive a car. It's not a big deal. You will drive a car. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah, because it's a general prosperity. You just tap into that. Unfortunately, it's for a season. Jesus said concerning John the Baptist, he said it was a light burning, and you rejoice in his light for a season. These things go through seasons. Then adversity comes when everybody starts running helter-skelter. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yes, that's the way it works. Trials will always come in life. So when you follow pillars, I've seen people, you know, men who have gone through experiences, write books of how they prospered and prospered and prospered. Then suddenly one day, a legislation was released. And they not only became poor, they became debtors, deep in debt. Why? They were rejoicing in what appeared like prosperity for a season. They were building with pillars, no foundation. Because the man that has the real foundation is a matter of time. Cut him off today, he will spring up from another angle tomorrow. That is the way it works when people have serious foundations in their lives. Alright, so those are the things we have been saying. Let's just quickly continue. I said I was going to read a number of scriptures. Quickly, let's read that book of Revelations. I want to get something clear in our minds. Jesus was describing a point. I just want to emphasize this. Revelation chapter 3. From verse 17, he was writing to the church at Laodicea. In verse 17, he said, "Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked," he said, "I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, that is indeed, and white garments, that you may clothe yourselves, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed." Now, please, what I want to just bring out here is this. These were people who were bragging in their prosperity. These were people who outwardly, really, they had stuff. If it was these modern days, they were living in nice houses, they drove very nice cars, and they had good bank accounts. Are you getting what I'm saying? And these were Christians. They used to go to church. And then they considered themselves prosperous. They considered that they had understood the gospel of prosperity and they had learned the mastery of money. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then God looked at them and said, "You don't get the point. You think you are rich and have become wealthy. And you think you don't have need of anything." He said, "But I look at you from my own angle, having understanding, the depths of understanding of what life is supposed to be, and I give a verdict that you are wretched and miserable and poor. Not only that, you are blind and naked. You do not even understand your current state." These were people who had everything, materially speaking. Do you follow what I'm trying to bring out here? That is, let's not ever, I just want to say this to believers again, because as I go through life, there's a correction I want to bring to Christians. And that's why I'm happy I'm talking about financial prosperity, so that it will not be amazing that, oh, this man doesn't know anything about money matters. Believe me, I do. And the first thing I think we should all know is that money is something we should be careful of, and is never a goal in the life of a believer. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? Now, I said something before, that it is wrong, all right, for us to practice Christianity and use the principles of God as methods for becoming rich. That is ungodly. You cannot chase what the unbeliever is chasing, but using a different method and say that makes you a Christian. No, the object of your life must be different. What should be the object of the life of the Christian? Let me tell you, it is Christ-likeness. It is not in achieving. You don't need to brag to your friends. I told you my faith works. Look at it. Before I'm the age of 40, I have built a very big house. I have a fleet of cars, and I'm established in my business. That does not in any way mean that your faith is real. If you had worshipped the devil, he would have given you exactly the same thing. It's the reason why I brought it up, and you find out the reason in a moment. And the other scripture I wanted to read, which you won't bother to read, is the one in which a man came to Jesus and said, ask my brother to share the inheritance with me. And he said, you don't need that. All right? A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. I can give more than a dozen interpretations to that scripture, and they are all correct. One of them is that, number one, the satisfaction you think you are looking for, you think you will get it when you have plenty. The truth is that your life won't change. The other day, something happened. I was somewhere with somebody. Okay, we went for a function in a very nice hotel. And it was a dinner. Somebody came to preach. And when we finished, we were kind of outside. People were moving away. And there was a very nice, modern, new model car parked out there. And I had looked at the car and admired it. In fact, when I parked behind the car, I said something about the car to my wife. Then when we came out, right beside that car, somebody parked. This time around, this was one of the most recent model Lexuses. My God, this car was extremely beautiful. The other car I was talking about was a Honda, all right? But when this Lexus parked beside it, suddenly the Honda looked like a miserable little car. So I was standing beside somebody and just pointing it out. And the person said, oh, that Honda is my car. I said, it's yours. He said, yes. Uh-huh. So I said, very nice car. I said, do you know, when I came in, I was admiring your car, and I passed a comment about it to my wife. I said, but when this car came, if he and I actually were staring at the Lexus and discussing the Lexus and admiring the Lexus. And I said that when I came, it was this Honda we were looking at. He said, oh, that one is my car. Oh, it's your car. So now, I said, look at it. This is what we're now saying. He's a believer too. I said, this is why in life you have to have satisfaction in yourself. Material things can never give you satisfaction. Here I came admiring a car. Was so big. Then something else came. Suddenly made the other one no longer desirable. You know, the other day I was looking at mobile phones. And I remember when I bought my wife the blue eye Samsung. What's R220? Can you remember that phone? I remember when I bought it. In fact, that day my wife looked like, why did you spend so much money? I said, I just felt like making you feel good. It was the phone. You get what I'm saying? Now, if I gave you an R220 with the stupid ringtones, you will slap me in the face. That time it was the blue eye. It was the thing. It's hardly 3-4 years afterwards. The phones that men are packing now, all right, are more glorious than the cars of those days. Do you follow the point I'm making? Listen, this thing I'm saying is very important too. That's why you must never let material things drive you up and down. You must never. It's a sign of immaturity. And if you're a Christian, it's a sign of demon possession. If you understand what I'm saying. Please, I don't mean that literally. Alright? But the fact is that you really need a lot of help. You have to grow up. Believe me. Paul says something which I think I should quickly quote to us again. He said, I have learned to abound. That's in Philippians chapter 4. I have learned to abase. I like the way the Ways translation, this translation called Ways translation said it. He said, I have learned how to be independent of circumstances. He said, I can stand adversity, I can stand prosperity. He said, I have learned how to be the same in the midst of plenty and the midst of privation. And you know the interesting thing? That scripture we quote all the time. That's what he was referring to. He said, how can I do this? He said, because I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. What was he saying? When Paul said, I can do all things, what he meant is that if all of you like, buy the most recent Lexuses, and I'm trekking at the same time, it will not disturb me. Why won't it disturb you? Because I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Are you getting my point? Is that in the same manner, if I need the latest jeep to do the work I have to do in life, and I don't have money, I can pray and God will give it to me. Why are you going to do that? Because I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can have a billion naira today and next day I don't have a dime. And it won't disturb my sleep. How can you do that? Because I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can be poor today and tomorrow you make me a multi-billionaire counting in dollars. I still won't lose my sleep. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. That's what he was talking about. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Listen, you must get to that point in life, okay? Before really you can enjoy prosperity in life. Are you getting my point? Listen to me. This is how God does it. He will build you up to a particular point where these material things won't matter to you, then he can bless you any way he wants. And let me tell you the truth. When you want to use your faith, let me teach you something today. If I say this, it sounds funny. The most important thing is not to use your faith to get a big house. The most important thing is not to use your faith to get a big car. The most important thing is to use your faith to put your mind at rest, whether you have anything or you don't have them. That is number one. That is number one. You cannot, in the midst of the disturbance of your soul, be praying for material possession. God won't give it to you because he knows you are trying to get peace from material things and it does not work. That is why what God does anytime you pray about something, the first thing he gives to you is the peace of God that passes all understanding. Let me give something to you, believers, tonight, alright? Listen to this. Anytime you pray about something and peace has not yet settled upon your soul about it, you won't get it. The sign that you have connected to God is that you have come to rest. The sign that you have connected with God, alright, is that your soul has quietened. When you are still jumping up and down, praying all night about something, sowing a seed towards it, jumping, God, don't forget me, don't God forget me, you're not ready yet. But listen to me, the day you relax and say, if I don't have the husband, do you think I'm going to die? I'll still be effective in life for Jesus Christ. Watch it. Manifestation is about to come. That's why a lot of people have gotten tired and frustrated. They have run from one crusade to the other. They have gotten nothing. Because God said, as long as you are still running up and down, you're not ready. As long as you are still running up and down, it shows that peace has not come upon your soul. That's why Paul said that, be careful about nothing. He said, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your request be known unto God. What's the next thing he said? He said, and the peace of God which passes all understanding will come and guard your soul until you have attained that point of peace. Your prayer has not hit anywhere yet. That's why I said, look, the first thing a believer should use his faith for, all right, is to arrive at the stability of the soul. When you have achieved it, then believe me. Because you see, one of the things I'm going to say, talk about talking about this financial prosperity matter, is a matter of patience. You must be able to wait for God. I discussed that in one of our messages in previous times, how to wait for God. The principle of waiting for God. If you are not willing to wait or ready to wait, devil will give you a way out. And listen, anyone who devil blesses, especially after he has come to the knowledge of the truth, is in trouble. Either he's in trouble temporarily, that is on the earth, for God to deliver him, he will go through the kind of adversity that will make him despair of life. Or he will be unwilling to go through it, and he will die and be in trouble eternally. The devil is not kind though. He's not nice at all. He doesn't give things to people, and then change his mind about collecting his pound of flesh. No, Christians, be careful. When you are doing negotiation with people and they are putting your hand into iniquity because you want to make money in life. Listen, Satan is literally buying your soul. He wants to kill you. He wants to frustrate you. He wants to send you literally into the lake of fire. That's why Jesus said, if it is I that's making you stumble, look for something, remove it. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm trying to explain. So, I read that scripture, that revelation, so let's understand that, look, we cannot judge life by what is outside. We can't. What God is building up in us is what? Christ-likeness. I was talking with a friend of mine. He called me a few days ago. And we're describing these things about material things. How Christians get carried away. And I explained something to him. I said, you see, there's nothing God can't do for anybody at any time. He has the power to do it. It's just that, you see, you ask yourself, why does he not do it? Because, you see, he doesn't have the same problem we have. You think you're poor, he doesn't think so. Do you get my point? You think if you got that thing, you will become rich. He thinks you will get poorer. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? You think, look, once I get this, I'll become happy. God said, no, that is a platform for sadness. That's the problem. So, you see, we are running for things that God looks and says, you don't need it. You don't. I was telling my wife today, I said, look, the prayer I pray all the time now is, God, help me to understand what you said in Isaiah chapter 26. It said, thou will keep in perfect peace the mind that is stayed upon thee, for he trusts in you. I said, God, help me to trust in you. I said, when you keep your eyes on motor car that you don't have, that your mind is no longer at peace. When you keep your mind on the difference in salary between you and that of your friend, your mind is no longer at peace. When you keep your minds on the children you don't have yet, your mind is no longer at peace. When you keep your mind on the visa you don't have yet, your mind is no longer at peace. Do you get my point? Look, listen, that's why God doesn't do things for people sometimes. Because they have a wrong perspective of what is wrong. The man thinks his problem is that he doesn't have money. God says, your problem is worse than money. In fact, money is not a problem. And if I gave you money in this state that you are in, it will never help you in life. You will become poorer than you are right now. You are misjudging your state. Listen, that's what Christianity is. It's not a sharp method to get what the world is looking for. That's why Paul said, some people have thought that godliness is a means of gain. He said, they are mistaken. But indeed, if they understood from God's perspective, godliness is actually a means of great gain. He said, if it is accompanied with what? Contentment. That is, peace must come upon your heart where you are before you can discover the gain that God really is pumping into your life. Let me say something to you. The way people judge things in life, they vary. In fact, I was telling somebody, I was preaching somewhere recently. I was just telling stories. I said, when I met my father-in-law, you know, I mean, you like different things about different people. That what my father-in-law liked about me was that I go to school. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. He looked at me, I look like a very well-educated person. That was what impressed him. You know, he likes people who are well-read. That's him. That's him. You're not what I'm saying. There are people that maybe once you appear, once you see the size of the car you came in, yes, they know this is a very good son-in-law. My father-in-law didn't care about that. He didn't have a car anyway, so whether it's short or tall, couldn't make an impression on him. I did not have one. All right, when I first met him, when I married his daughter, I didn't have. All right, I just want to illustrate something. Okay, what impresses, all right, people differ. Now, what impresses God, I don't want to discuss that now, talking about the will of God, all right, about your life is different from what people are trying to get you to use to validate your life. But this is actually where I'm going. That when you get your heart united with God, what to impress yourself about your own life, you will be amazed. It's far removed from what the world is trying to sell to you right now. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, listen, you will look, there are certain, look, many of us, we will struggle and struggle to achieve a particular thing. God will allow us to achieve it. Then, because of the goodness, basically, of our heart, he will bring us to the knowledge of truth. And they will look back and say, that 5 years was a waste. Let me prove it to you. Paul said, I excelled more than all my contemporaries in the matters of Judaism. Then when I got to know God, I counted all my excellence as dung. I realized it was a waste of time. Listen, that's a spiritual principle. There are things you are running after now, praying. God says, when I take you into the knowledge of truth, when you and I, when our hearts are united, you will discover that you spent 10 years praying for things that don't matter. What am I saying? As Christians, God will bless you when you have entered into contentment. Are you getting my point? But you will discover the things that really count in your life. I didn't say in life. There are things that really count in life. That's true. But there are things that really count in your life. Now, I've laid this foundation up to a particular level. Now, because my time is up, all right, I will continue from this particular point next time, all right?
We trust that you were blessed by the message. More materials and information about Kingdom Word Ministries are freely obtainable when you visit us at kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.com. We would like to hear from you on how much this production has blessed you. Please write us at mails@kwm.com.ng or P.O. Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.